Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing my teaching on effortless change, and I'm going to be back on that in just a few moments. But again, this week is the 41st anniversary of the Roe versus Wade decision by the Supreme Court where they legalized abortion. And since that time, there has been well over 50 million children murdered in the United States. And it's really more than that because New York and California aren't required to report all abortions. Those are just the ones that are reported. And so this is a major tragedy. And I know that there's people watching this program who think that I just need to stick with the Word and quit being political. I tell you, this is the Word. I can teach on this. And I know that there's people watching this program that say, but, you know, you don't understand. Sometimes there's these other circumstances, and what if the woman doesn't have the money to take care of? Well, then put it up for adoption. Well, you know, what if the baby has some kind of a birth defect or something like that? Just because a person has some birth defect is not a justification for killing them. That would be like you going up to a person who's in a wheelchair and because they can't walk around, you just decide that they aren't a viable human being and you kill them. You do not have the right to kill a person. Plus, with the Lord, God can heal a person. You know what I want to do today? Tomorrow is this 41st anniversary, and I want to play a testimony of the Trover family who, as this woman was pregnant, she went and got, I guess, a sonogram. I'm not sure exactly, but the doctors determined that this baby, out of like 21 markers that showed that a baby had Down syndrome, this baby had 20 of those 21 markers. It was like a 99% chance that this baby was going to be born Down syndrome. But they chose life, and they chose to have this baby. And they prayed, and God healed the baby, and the baby was born perfectly normal. I think that this will really bless you, and it'll make a statement that, you know, whether the Lord heals the child or not, that that is not a justification for killing a child just because it isn't the way that you think it should be. Watch this testimony, and then I'll come back at the end of this program.
My husband was dead set against having four children. He has four in his family, and I come from a family of three. And when we had a boy first, I have a seven-year-old son, and when I was pregnant with my second child, I prayed that he would be a boy because I knew that if we had a boy and a girl, my husband would say, okay, that's great, we have one of each, and that's a wonderful family. So I really prayed, be a boy. I need two boys so I can have my third child, you know. So when I went to him saying, I would love to have a third child, he said, okay, well, we'll try for our daughter one more time, but if we don't, we have my three sons, and we're done. So actually, in the ultrasound room, when they said, this is a girl, my husband just, it was like he won a football game or something, you know. He said, this, I love it when a plan comes together, and, you know, now this is our family, we're complete, we have our two sons and our daughter, so we can do this. And so I had this gorgeous portrait done of my three children, and it had just hung it on the wall.
In the fall of 2008, business was not good. It was clear that the economy was headed in the wrong direction. I started praying heavily and regularly that business would improve and for direction from the Lord. As I was praying, He continued to press onto my heart that we were to have another child, which was not what I was looking to hear at the time. And yet, I continued to hear this from Him. I did not initially tell my wife. In fact, I was much like Jonah in that I headed in the other direction. And then one evening, I was working at my computer. It was about midnight, and God told me it was time to go and tell my wife. And so I went in and sat down on the bed with her, and she was reading. And I said, honey, I've got to tell you something, and that is that God wants us to have a baby.
He said, it's been about 2 months now that God's been waking me up in the night and just telling me that we're supposed to have another child, that we're supposed to have a fourth baby. And My reaction was a bit of shock.
We had thought we were done. We had three beautiful children, but we certainly knew that it was time to listen to God. And shortly thereafter, we did conceive our fourth. And after a couple of pregnancy tests that were positive, we went and had the ultrasound done. And sure enough, number four was on the way. Then we went to our next ultrasound appointment quite a few weeks later, and there was some concern.
She completed the scan, and when she was done, she said to us, she said, there's several factors here that convinced me that this is a Down syndrome baby. She told us that there was fluid on the baby's brain. She told me that the baby's head was more round, and normal healthy babies have more oval shaped heads. She said that the cheekbones were flattened, that there was a flattening here, and that the nose bone was not visible at all, that she couldn't get a measurement on it. The pinky fingers on both hands, the third digit, was missing from the pinky. She showed us that there were calcium deposits in the baby's heart. She said that the limbs from here to here and here to here on the arms and the legs, as far as from joint to joint, were shortened, that they weren't the right, they weren't growing at the correct length. They were showing a shortened deformity in the bone structure. She told us that the kidney had showed water on the kidneys. She said, no, you have a greater than 1 in 2 chance that this baby has Down syndrome. She talked to us about termination. You know, she said, you know, your options as well would be to terminate this pregnancy. She told us we don't do abortions here, but we could give you a reference for that. And that was very hard for me to hear, because that would not ever be an option for us, you know. And I was very adamant in my reply back to her that that's not something we're interested in doing.
When the doctor left the room, I stood up and immediately canceled this diagnosis. This was not what God had for this baby. This was not of God. It was clear that this was Satan trying to attack what God had as a plan for our family, and I canceled the diagnosis immediately.
And he said, I cancel this diagnosis in the name of Jesus. I cancel this diagnosis that we don't believe these things that were spoken over our child, and we don't accept it. You know, that God called this baby out, that this was his will for this child to be born, and that we don't believe that these things are the truth, that these are facts, that we believe that they're real, you know, that they're facts in the natural world, that God's, that, you know, the doctor is doing her job and has shown us.
This was something that we saw in no uncertain terms. This was really there physically in the natural. And yet we knew in the supernatural that this is not going to happen to our baby. And we were going to believe that God was going to heal our baby. And yet, it was a tough time to go through.
When Holly called me the day that she got the diagnosis and said to me, Alex, they've told me that my baby has Down syndrome, I remember the feeling of, oh my gosh, this can't be. And for a second, I was down there with her. And then I remembered, but God. And I just remembered God promised this baby. It was his idea. It wasn't his idea to give him a Down syndrome baby. It was his idea to give him a whole healthy baby. I've always taught that the words that you speak are very powerful, that life and death are in the power of your tongue. And I remember when I started teaching myself about Andrew Womack teachings on our authority as believers, and how we are created in the image of God, and how just like God framed the world through the spoken word, we frame our future through our words. It was at that time that I started teaching some of Andrew Womack's teachings in Cell that Steve and Holly really began to grasp it and get it. So when Steve and Holly were faced with a challenge, the fruit that was in them really came out very sweetly.
On March 27th, we went back to the specialist so she could have another look at our baby. But I really went back believing. I had the faith for this, that whatever was on the screen, I was not going to let that move me. I was not going to let my emotions override what I knew God's Word said.
We went into the doctor's office, and the nurse said that we were going to have a different doctor, which was absolutely fine with me because I didn't really like the news the last one delivered. But Holly mentioned that she wouldn't mind speaking with the original doctor, and so the nurse notated that and went and found that doctor, and she actually came a few minutes later.
It took a really long time. She spent about, it was over an hour that she was taking measurements and doing things that just seemed to be forever. And I could hear my husband, he was actually singing and praising God in the background. I could hear him singing a song that I'm counting on God. He was humming that in the background. And she would measure and take another measurement. And then at one point she just kind of stopped, and it just seemed kind of strange to me. She stopped and she said,
"If this was the first time I had ever seen this baby, I would tell you this baby has nothing wrong with him. He is perfect in every way."
Then it got quiet again, and she measured more and measured more. And it was a little while, my husband and I started to realize that she was taking the same measurement more than once. You know, she was measuring the arms and the legs and the circumference of the head, everything. She was just doing it repeatedly. So when she was done taking her measurements, she stopped and she put her things down and she just looked at us and she said, "You know, this is just one of those times where you just throw your hands up in the air."
When she called, I just was silent, weeping, thanking God, glorifying Him for His faithfulness, knowing that when we actually dare to step out, our Daddy does not let us down. Our Heavenly Father does not let us down.
They admitted Holly to the hospital and started the process of inducing her.
Really, it was just like a half an hour of labor, of active labor.
When he came out, it was just absolutely amazing. He was so big. It was far and away the largest baby we've had at 8 pounds, 11 ounces. He was 22 inches long, and I immediately went over and looked at Nathaniel afterwards, and his color was perfect. His everything about him, he looked like this perfect angel.
And when they had moved him over to the baby nurse that was cleaning him up, I started to tell her our testimony and our story of you know, the different things, and she stopped and she said, "Not this baby. I gave this baby a 10 on his Apgar score, and I don't give 10s.
This baby had an Apgar score of 10, which is perfect. And I kind of looked at it as God just showing off.
Man, isn't that powerful? Praise God for Jesus and people who trust Jesus, because God can turn any situation around. I know that there's some people watching this that you may be one of those that's been influenced by others to say, but you know, your child could have a birth defect. The fact that it could have a birth defect is not going to mean that it is going to have a birth defect. If you would pray and believe God, you could see that situation change. But even if the child was born with some birth defect, that's still not a justification for just out and out murdering that child. You know, Sarah Palin, who was the presidential candidate on the Republican Party with McCain, she has a child that is Down syndrome, and it wasn't healed, and it has Down syndrome, but yet she loves that child, and that is a special child. I know a number of people that have Down syndrome, and that doesn't make them less of a person. I'm telling you that our justification, the way we rationalize things, that this person might be brought up in poverty, so let's just kill it so that it'll never know poverty. That's just crazy. Again, I could spend the entire program talking about that, but I just want to emphasize that this is wrong, And as we come up on this anniversary, I would like to use the influence that God has given me to stand up and to say that God ordained life, and it is wrong for a person to kill a child, especially in their mother's womb, the most sacred place. If you were ever going to be protected, it ought to be in your own mother's womb. And to think that the mother would just turn around and kill that child is wrong. Amen. I know that there are some of you that really dislike me making those statements, but I am 100% consistent with the Word of God in what I'm saying. And people who want to just departmentalize our life, and let's say, well, let's talk about heaven and hell issues, or let's talk about how to have peace and joy, but don't get off onto anything that's going to influence your lifestyle. And let's not talk about that. That's not consistent with the Word. The Word of God has a lot of instructions about how we're supposed to live. So I am not apologizing for making these statements at all. Back to Mark chapter 4 in verse 15, Jesus was giving the interpretation of this parable of the sower sowing the seed. And in verse 15, he said, "These are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Now, there are four different types of soil spoken about in this parable. And again, this is really not talking about farming. It's using the truths in farming to illustrate spiritual principles. The word, the seed, is representing the word. The ground is representing the condition of our hearts. And there are four different types of ground in this parable, and they illustrate four different conditions of people's hearts. And, you know, I'm not going to have time to make all of these points, and so I'll just present this as andiology. You can take it or leave it. But if you would study this out, I think you'd find it to be true that they are four progressive steps in people's hearts. I don't think anybody's heart becomes good ground for the Word of God just automatically. We have to till that ground. Just like, you know, if you go out and plant a seed, usually you have to till up the ground. You have to soften it up. You have to start pulling out the weeds. You have to make furrows. You have to prepare the ground. There are things that have to be done for ground, just natural ground, to become good ground where it will produce a hundredfold return. There's things that you have to do to make that happen. And likewise, our hearts don't just instantly begin to start producing all of the good things that God's Word wants to produce in our life. We have to prepare our heart. And so I believe that this parable, as it goes through four different types of ground, it's actually talking about four different stages in hearing the Word of God. Now, that's really important. And I believe that they're progressive stages. It starts from the type of ground that was the least productive to the type of ground that was the most productive. And it shows you how to travel from one, from the least productive to the most productive. It shows you how to make these steps and changes. So here it says that this first type of ground was where the seed just fell by the wayside. And the wayside here is describing where there was a path where people were walking through, and the ground was so hard packed that it never got below the surface. It was just laying on the surface. And I said this on the program yesterday, but this isn't talking about planting seed the way we do it today, where you dig a furrow and plant the seed and space it. But it's talking about a person that just scattered the seed. They took it out of a bag and just threw it, and it fell on these four different types of ground. And this wayside here is describing a path that was so hard packed that the seed just sat on the surface, and the birds were able to come and eat the seed. It never did get in the ground. It never released its potential. It was like, you know, it's like a person who just hears the word and it's in one ear and out the other. It had no impact on them whatsoever. That's the first type of person. Let me turn back over to Matthew chapter 13 and read this parable to you from Matthew's account. It's the exact same parable, but it's stated a little differently in Matthew 13, 19. It says, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." So in Matthew's account, it specifically says that this first type of person or first type of heart was a person that didn't understand. And so therefore Satan was able to come and just steal the word away from him. So here's a really important point. To get the word of God working in your life, it must be understood. It has to be presented simply. It has to be understood. This is why that when we have church, we have children's church, youth ministries and things like this. Or let me rephrase that. That's why we should have it. I think sometimes those things are nothing but babysitting type of things, but it should be that we are taking the exact same truth. You don't change the message, but you just put it into terms that a child can understand. Like, for instance, if I'm talking about Satan coming against you with afflictions and persecutions, and if I'm talking to adults, I might be talking about some of the problems that you have in marriage or that you have in work or something like that. But if I'm talking to a child, they don't understand marriage and work, and so you talk to them about, you know, this may be what happens when you're on the playground and somebody comes up and you're trying to treat somebody with love and they're trying to be mean, and you use some kind of an example, see, that would relate to the child. They have to understand it. You don't change the message. You say, you know, turn the other cheek, do good unto those that do bad to you, but you just change the illustrations. You make it so that a person can understand. I tell you, this is one of the things that I try and go to great effort to accomplish. I don't know if I accomplish it perfectly or not, but I try and make things so simple that you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand it. I can stand for a person to reject me, but I can't stand for a person to ignore me like it just went in one ear and out the other. I want to make things so simple, so clear that people understand what I'm talking about. I've heard some ministers that actually they like to use these words that you have to have a dictionary in front of you to be able to read it and understand what they're trying to communicate. And they think this is really great communication. I think that a great communicator is not one that talks over the heads of people, but I think you're talking so that every single person can get exactly what you're saying. The first step in getting the word to work in your life is you've got to understand it. If you don't understand the word, then Satan just comes immediately and takes it away from you. And I tell you, I think that this is one of the problems in the body of Christ worldwide, that people are speaking of things that are just right over the heads of most people. They are using all of these terms. I just started reading a book last night, and I saw words in there that I had to go look them up and study. They're religious words. And I understand them after I think about it for a while, but as you listen to the person talk, or if you read the book, and if you don't take the time to look it up, and so it doesn't communicate. You don't understand. You've got to present truth in a way that people can understand what you're talking about. If you don't, the fowls of this air, the devil, just comes and steals away the word that's been sown in your heart. And I tell you, this is where a lot of people in the body of Christ are. We need to make it so simple that you have to have somebody to help you to misunderstand what the word says. You know, that's what all of these materials that I've got are all about. I've got all of these things that I've written to help explain, this parable and the other parables that we've been talking about. It's entitled Effortless Change. I've got it in CD, DVD form, book, study guide, and then we also have this living commentary where I've written over 18,000 footnotes in the Bible, as well as a Bible reading program. Please listen and let our announcer share with you this information, and then call or write today.
Today, Andrew has two special offers for you. The first is his Living Commentary Bible software. The Living Commentary features Andrew's personal notes on over 18,000 Bible verses. In addition, you can download his most recent notes on more than 120 new Bible verses every month. This is what makes it a living commentary. It keeps growing and allows you to study the Bible along with Andrew. The software includes three versions of the Bible, additional commentaries, theological and historical references, dictionaries, photos, and maps. This valuable resource, representing 46 years of Andrew's devotional life, is available for a gift of $120 or more. This special TV offer also includes a free copy of the Bible reading plan mentioned on today's program and a free copy of the book, Effortless Change. Andrew's second offer is the Effortless Change Package. It includes today's complete teaching series on your choice of either CD or DVD, the Effortless Change book, and the companion study guide. This package has a catalog value of $80, but you can get it today for a gift of $55 or more. Also, all individual products mentioned on today's program can be ordered through our website by going to awmi.net and clicking on today's TV offer. The third audio teaching in today's series is titled The Word is the Seed, Part 1. It's available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources through our website at awmi.net. While you're there, you can discover more product details and download many free resources. Or you can order through our helpline Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, remember, you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events. In February, he'll be in Woodland Park for the Association of Related Ministries International Conference. In March, he'll be in Yorba Linda, Riverside, Pasadena, and Santa Clara, California. And again in Woodland Park at the Sanctuary for Caris Bible College Campus Days and for the grand opening celebration for the new Caris Bible College campus. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, visit our website at awmi.net.
For over 25 years, Andrew Womack has been involved with and supported our Colorado Springs Pregnancy Center and has seen the lives of many thousands of babies spared. Presently an outreach of Life Network, the Pregnancy Center offers several valuable services, ranging from free pregnancy tests to personal counseling, classes covering pregnancy to infant care, and supplies spanning from maternity wear to diapers and baby clothing. They also offer post-abortion counseling, which ministers to women who have already experienced the heartache of abortion. Andrew has since retired from the board of directors, but continues to support the Colorado Springs Pregnancy Centers, which now have two offices in Colorado Springs, as well as a mobile pregnancy center. If you'd like more information, please visit elifenetwork.com or cspregnancycenter.com.